healing the sick. Just because this is so timely, I just feel like, and many of you have like kind of individually confirmed this, that the Spirit of the Lord is really moving in amazing ways. Like this shift that's happening, where it's like He's just been schooling us, teaching us, guiding us, and journeying us into this adventure of finding out who we are, right? This has been many years in the making. This has been Rich's heart for so long. Personally, it's been my heart, John's heart, Kirsten's heart, like everyone's heart, you know, like just to really get us in this, like, guys, like, this is who we are, right? And it's just so fun. I'm glad that we've had this order. I'm so glad that we went this way, right? Like, if we're finding out who you are and identity goes hand in hand with the outward stuff. It really does. But if you're going to do one before the other, I'm so glad it's identity first, because otherwise you risk finding your identity in the stuff. That would be dangerous, right? It's so easy to just step into and see a miracle, and then suddenly you're finding your identity in that. And that's no bueno. That's not what the Lord wants for us. We are to find our identity in sonship, and in Him, and Him in us. And the stuff is going to be a product of who we are in Him, right? So, I'm so glad it happened that way first. Because that's the correct order. It's all a product. Okay, and it's amazing, like I've been, so we're not going to stop this conversation, this discussion of who we are, because that's just awesome. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. I love finding out who I am, because the more I find out about me and learn about me, the more I'm learning about Him. Because if we're truly made in His image and His likeness, then the more I learn about me, the more I learn about Him, and definitely vice versa. So I just thank God for sonship, and I thank God for the product of sonship, which is the signs and wonders, one of the products. But the sonship must come first. The Bible says that these signs shall follow they that believe. It's not the other way around. We're not following, this is a big point, guys, we're not following after signs and wonders. We're not looking for the stuff. We're not looking for the miracles. For a while, I was chasing after the miracles. I wanted to see the fruits of miracles in my life. And that's a really nice thing, but first comes the believing. First comes the sonship and establishing me in who I am, and then those signs began to follow me. It's like amazing. It's amazing, like without even trying. So I just want to talk about this for a little while today, and just begin to really teach on, like, it almost sounds lame, but like the how-tos on living and being a little bit more outward. But it's never really a formula, right? It's really love and who we are that drives us. But really, just if I could just whet appetites, if I could just turn you on, like in your desire to see these things, and actually make it seem more accessible. Then goal and mission accomplished. I'm going to drill that for a few more minutes. So, sonship, realizing who we are, getting a hold of that about a year and a half ago is what completely wrecked me. You know, like, and this is after 15 years of Christianity, 15, maybe even more, of Christianity, I realize now that I was, and I've said this before, but I was living kind of an old covenant, works-based thing. Like, I wanted to see things, I had a good heart, but I just didn't completely understand sonship and also righteousness. And as soon as God hit me with those things, I was just wrecked. I was like, oh my gosh, like, God, like, I'm a son, like, I belong to you. I'm no longer, like, I was living more like an orphan, trying to gain the pleasure, to please the Father, which is good, but trying to gain Him as a father when He's like, you're already my son. And that's what He had to get in me. And also the second part of that was righteousness. And if you're new to this stuff, it's just righteousness means right standing. So right standing with the Father. Like, I realize that I am standing right before the King. There's nothing in me that's dirty anymore. I'm completely clean. And that'll just wreck you. It just clears your conscience. So getting that, as soon as I got that, I would say like weeks after, maybe about a month after, the winter, December of 2015, the first time I actually stepped out on this stuff was on a plane ride home from the Bay Area of California, back to DIA. It's like a late night flight, about a red eye flight almost. And I was feeling tired, man. It was like long week of work. And so I just got, I got on that plane and I was like, okay, like I'm ready to just lay back and just zonk out. You ever feel like that? So I'm just like, I ended up sitting in between people because I got in like the front seat because I wanted to like make out of there, like create, like just get out as soon as, the flight was over. I had to sit between a few folks, and the woman next to me, she was the talker. She loved to talk. Anyone know anyone like that? She just loved to talk, whatever. And I'm going, like, I'm just being honest. I'm like, man, like, I really wanted to, like, get my sleep, man. Like I was just done. But then, the Lord kind of nudged me. He's like, what have you been learning? Here's the thing. People are never, never your inconvenience. There's always an opportunity, especially when you tap into his heart. If you don't want to like see any of this stuff, don't tap into his heart. But like, if you want to see some of this stuff, you could actually be bold and be like, Lord, like, I think I'm ready for a divine encounter with someone, like, a divine intervention, or just a divine time with meeting someone. How could I bless someone with you today? Man, I'm telling you right now, if you ask them that, you'll probably get it. And there's like, I could share many stories about that, but this time I wasn't asking for it. So, but anyway, she was totally an open book, lovely lady. And she was just talking and talking and talking. It was just, and I was just listening. Sometimes like loving people is just listening. Just listen to their story. Just listen. So I was doing that. And while the Lord was just give me a thump, my heart, whatever, to really love on this woman, I noticed that she had a big leg brace on, from like below her knee to her lower ankle. She actually had a little wrist thing on too. I'm like, oh, what happened there? And she explained that, she was on a hike in Hawaii on a short vacation, and she was like hiking the like that black volcanic, I guess they have these formations. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Who's been there, like near the beaches? You could do these, nice expeditions and climbs. And she had, somehow fallen, completely messed up her ankle, like really bad. It turned out she was in a wheelchair. She has those airport service people, get her onto the plane and all that stuff. And she was pretty distraught about it. She just kept going on about, how this has been a major issue. She can't work properly. And the doctor said it was only supposed to be a certain amount of time, but it's been like way longer than that. And it's just been really bad and all the issues. And I just been learning about the things that we're going to talk about today. I'm like, okay, here is my chance to step out. I wish I could tell you I was brave enough to just do it. I didn't. I was just like the last person to ever do something like this. I'm not even kidding. So I'm just thinking about it and I'm just rationalizing it, and she just kept talking and I'm just listening and I completely chickened out. Then it, awesome testimony. All right, next. No, just kidding. So it comes time, for landing, and we finally land, and you have that time where it's not, I think they call it taxiing or whatever, but it's just, it's on the ground. The plane is rolling for a while, and it's extra really, it's noisy in the cabin. So I'm like, okay, well, here's a better chance. It's really loud or whatever. If I pray for her, for healing and to step out on this thing, less people will, like around me, will hear it because it's super noisy. Still chickened out. So anyway, we get to, back in, we dock, whatever, or whatever you call it. Sorry, it's not a boat. and then the service guy from DIA comes with the wheelchair. And she meets him out there, but she has to get from like here to there. And she's like, side, like leg to the side, ankle completely turned, just limping off to, meet this guy, at the wheelchair. And so, I'm just walking back, like I'm just sulking, like I'm sorry, Lord, I completely chickened out. This was the time. This woman was super sweet, totally receptive. She was just an open book, and I could have done it and I didn't, and I'm sorry. Feeling really bad, not condemned, because guys, life is a learning situation. We're learning. He's teaching us things. So don't ever fall into that trap of condemnation. Okay. Like instead turn to him and let him speak to you in life, because he'll coach you. So, at this point, I'm like walking back to the carousel, you know, to go get my luggage. And I was like, Lord, I tell you what, if she does happen to have some luggage, if she's at the carousel, I'm going to pray for her. So, and like, just be careful if you make like a little pact like that with the Lord, because then, you know, I mean, it's like, I have to follow through. So I show up and there she is, you know, the airport guy behind her, you know, just hold on to the handles of her, wheelchair, and you know, they're trying to figure out, like, you know, where her bag is. And I'm sitting there, and I wish I could tell you, I just walked up. I'm still in delay mode, man. I'm telling you, I was like chickening out. I'm telling you all this because if I can do it, you could definitely do it, okay? Like, you know, or at least, like, okay, maybe some people in this room would be even more beside themselves, or whatever. But like, this is just a testimony just to let us know, like, hey, this is possible. Like, this is possible. And it's not like it wasn't this, oh, like, Spirit of the Lord is just floating around and I'm just like, everybody's got a halo and it's just the perfect, like, situation for a healing to occur this night, okay? This is like the condition of my heart. Like, I love the Lord, I love this woman. So that's where it should start, right? But I was like, I was scared senseless, man. So, you know, this is a big deal for me. First time stepping out like this. So anyway, like, I'm standing there waiting for my bag, you know, looking at them, looking for their bags. And then, like, this one, like, I think it was like a gray bag, like, rolls around. And she's like, oh, I think that's it. And then, like, you know, like, he goes to grab it. And he looks at it and he's like, yeah, you think so? And she's like, like, and this thing happened where they were like, no, I don't think that's it. And then, you know, and then he let it go. Turned out later on that actually was the bag. So, like, that was grace. It was just grace. So, because at that moment that, you know, that they thought it was the bag, I'm like, oh my gosh, failure again. They're going to grab the bag and go. I'm going to chase them down, the airport. It was just not good. But anyway, so as soon as that rolled on by, I was like, okay, doing it. So it was almost like I seriously, like, took myself and just, like, and brought myself to this lady, okay? So I opened up and I said, thus saith the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing like that. It was just like, it was totally awkward, okay? But, you know, I told her something like, hi again. And I was like, okay, I know this might sound a little weird, but Jesus just loves you. Like, God loves you so much. I just want to tell you that, because as I was walking, you know, back and, you know, hearing your story and stuff, I just really felt God's love for you. And I say it to people a lot. Like, I'll be like, I can just literally feel God's love for you. That's powerful when you can say that, especially when you really can. Like, you have his heart. He's giving you his heart, okay? Like, so you could just be, your heart could be his heart for people, okay? So I started off like that, and she's like, oh, thank you. It's like really sweet. And I was like, okay, and you know, something like, okay, I know this might sound even a little weirder, but about your ankle, you know, I forgot how I said it, just wasn't slick. Something like, hey, like, I've seen people healed. It's amazing. I know he can do it. Would you mind if I prayed for your for your ankle? And she was like, sure. Because most people are like, they're usually not going to say no. Usually. Sometimes they do. And that's okay. Because they're not rejecting us. They're not. Jesus said they're rejecting me. Like, they first rejected me. So don't, like, get all, you know, last time I do that. So anyway, yeah, she said, sure. So I get down there and I just pray the simple prayer of faith, you know, put my hand on her ankle. And I said something like, you know, ankle, be restored in Jesus' name, or be healed in Jesus' name. And I looked at her and I said, so do you feel anything? And she starts moving. She's like, actually, there's a little more range of motion in there. That's always nice. It's always nice. Like, but if nothing was happening, you do it again, okay? So she said, you know, yeah, I feel a little bit of motion there. I was like, oh, good. I'm going to pray for it again. So I prayed for it again, and like, all restoration come. But, you know, right now, something along those lines, in Jesus' name, prayer of faith. And I asked her again, and she moves it again. She was like, I'm going to stand up. And I was like, yes, because that's like, that's her response in faith. Not that I need her to have faith. Like, that's one thing going around the church that I believed hook, line, and sinker, that you can't be healed unless you have faith. And I need to put that out right now because, well, first of all, let's just cut to the chase. A dead man, could he have faith? No, he's dead. So what happened to Lazarus? Okay, so if they have faith, helpful. It's faith that moves a mountain, so faith plus faith equals lots of faith. So it's great. But it's these signs shall follow they that believe. So it's you, the believer, that's going to carry that faith that gets that thing moved. Okay? So anyway, so she gets up And I know this, like I've shared this story before to some of you, but no joke, like it couldn't have been more than like seven steps, seven completeness. Like she's like kind of limping, and then by like several steps in, it's like she's like this. Like per like and she looks back at me, she's like, did you see me on the plane? I'm like, yep. I said, it looks like you're healed, sweetheart. This is amazing. And she's just shocked. Like, I think a few other people like looking. The guy behind the wheelchair, he starts preaching. Like he's so quiet this whole time. I don't know what he's thinking. I'm praying for this woman, and he's just like looking, no expression on his face. Then suddenly, and this is a learning lesson all in itself, when you step out in wonderful, courageous bravery like I did, yeah. When you step out and face that thing, other people, like you're going to break through that wall, and other people are going to follow suit. It's amazing who comes out of the woodwork. I've seen this a few times, actually. So this guy starts like totally quiet. This guy from like, I think he was like from Jamaica, something like that. He's just like, see right there, that's the power of faith through Jesus Christ. He's just going, man. I was like amazing. So like, yeah, the three of us at like midnight at DIA are talking. I prayed for her wrist, but she's got a big like, one of those set casts on, so it wasn't like she could, try it out or whatever. But she was like, this is amazing. It turns out that she's a Catholic, and her husband, like, they had divorce, and this really, really hard situation, but, she's still kind of like always was wondering, and she always kind of had a little bit of faith in God, and something like that will really change the course of someone's history. It was amazing. So I walked out of there, like looking back, and once again, he's pushing the wheelchair next to her and just walking, and I'm like, yeah! Okay, so Mark 16:17. It's all about sonship, guys. Because the thing that got that going was just me realizing I'm a son, and what I have inside of me, this woman needs, and whatever that looks like for the day. And since then, the airplane, man, it's like becoming like I've had amazing conversations with some people. It really is. And it's like forced church because they can't get out of it. It's like this little cabin. It's like this steel tube all the way up in the, I mean, it's just like what are they going to do? Like they really can't get away from it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really not. I'm not like, I can't say I'm that bold, but if there's someone next to me, like I look for an in. Okay. Like, so that's just me personally. I'm not quite at the, at the point of like, yeah, nice to meet you. Did you know about Jesus? I'm just not that guy yet, at least. But like, as soon as we get into some conversation, man, if there's like even the remotest, like if you give me an inch, I'll just take the yard. You know what I mean? So like, I've had wonderful conversations. There was a Jewish, he was a man who worked with Jewish thinkers, and I got to like share like the deep mysteries of the gospel with him and stuff, and he was a studier of love, and what's that word? I'm looking at you, Truman, because you're like the wife. There's like this word for like there's like the study of love and what drives people, and is it really like a selfish thing, or is it like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's really like it's deep and brilliant. Like I don't even know what the word's called. I don't even have a college education, but I know I know love himself. So I carried on the situation with this Jewish guy, one time who was amazing, steeped in Jewish culture, and was just working with the Jews in Brooklyn, New York, about this stuff. And I'm just carrying, and he's like who are so what do you do? Or like, and I'm like, what do I do, or what do I do? Like, or who am I for a living? Or so, yeah, boom, gospel, another time someone like stepped, a woman stepped into the seat next to me, and she was also like really outgoing. She's like, really outgoing, like, your faces are really close, usually like, especially guys, what I'm talking about. You can talk close, but you look forward. Yeah, how you doing today? And he's like, yeah, I'm doing good. It's just like, you don't make eye contact because you're like right here, but she's like, hi. like right here. And I'm like, hi. Like, and like right, like, you know, she was like, I'm so-and-so and this is, you know, what I do, whatever. And I said something along the lines of like, I'm Evan Dukas. And I just love Jesus. And guess what? About a half an hour ago, I asked God to put someone next to me that I could speak into and bless today. And you're it. Hi, how are you doing? And she looks at me like with like every bit of emotional expression that you could ever imagine. And by the time that ended, I can honestly say like I was led to pray for her, and I started, I saw demonic things manifesting like physically, like on the airplane. Like it was stuff. It's just awesome. But he taught me like lessons through that one as well. Okay, you guys are right. Like, I'm not really super organized today. I'm just being completely truthful. I've been so loaded with, like, work this week. It's just been, like, one of these, like, few weeks out of the year where I'm like, there's just no time for anything. And then there was someone, that just really needed a friend last night and stuff like that. So it's just like, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to throw a few things down, whatever. But even if today amounts to just telling a few stories, because I love hearing stories, because these are real stories that, like, dude, I'm Evan Dukas. I'm no one. You know what I mean? Like, this is so accessible. Like, it's not this super Christian thing, okay? Like, we're not like, it's not like there's some Christian elite that has like some special healing, like, ministry or healing gift or whatever. I mean, those do exist, but we could all, it says, these signs will follow they that believe. Not only a few, not only those who like wear the Superman cape or whatever, but it's just like these signs will follow they that believe. This is like through and through. So I just want to like really just get into that today and then just grab that out of us, because it's just so good. And it's so like, it's straightforward, and part of it is just honestly just demystifying everything. Because again, we kind of like, you know, we put like one person on a pedestal, we do us an injustice and them an injustice, and we build this huge ministry around them, and it's all about them and their healing abilities, which is great, but like, this is for us too. Okay, so Mark 16, I almost said March 16th because my daughter's birthday. Mark 16, 17 and I think 18 says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And this Jesus said, this is all part of like, you know, that time of like giving the last, you know, the commissioning everyone. This is after the resurrection, after the finished work of Christ. And that's really important, because I just want to quickly roll through the gospel today, because I love the gospel. It just never gets tiring to me. And the gospel really starts not like when Jesus entered the earth, but at the beginning, which is Jesus, the foundation. You know, he was the lamb slain before us to the foundation of the world. So actually, it's like the beginning. But let's just go to the beginning, like the second beginning. You know what I mean? So God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man. And like I said before, he created man in his image and his likeness. I always do this with, my daughter, we're like riding in the car. I'm like, so God created us to be like him, to look like him, to be with him. And she always gets it right now. Like, you know, because we really drill it, because when you understand his original intent from the beginning, I mean, that's the gospel. That's our inheritance. And so he came back to restore us to something, right? It's not just he died for sinners, right? The cross didn't just expose our sin. That's what the law was for, right? He didn't just die for sinners. He died for sons, and to restore them and to recover them for lost sons. We were all the prodigal son. That'd be a really fun teaching sometime. Because it's the prodigal son. That's a picture of the kingdom of God. It's not just like one person. In fact, in some ways, you might say that Israel was the older sibling. That'd just be a fun teaching sometime. And we'll do that. So he creates us in his image and his likeness. Okay, so we're to be like him, to look like him, and then most important, to be with him. Relationship. And then he commissions us to go out and be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth with his glory, right? It wasn't just about having babies. We've said that before, although that's really neat, and that's one practical way of doing it. But it's about reproducing what he put in us. We were created in his image. We carried his glory. Amazing stuff. And then he says, okay, go multiply. Here's the Garden of Eden. Here's the beautiful place. And here's where you reside. Now go into the rest of the world and the chaos and fill it. Right? That chaotic thing, that's something that actually Bill Johnson teaches on. He actually believed that outside of the garden was actually still wild and chaotic. I'm not sure. But either way, the Garden of Eden wasn't the whole world. But eventually it would be. Right? A spiritual Garden of Eden, however you see it. I just love gardens. So for the Garden of Eden to expand, yay. That's really awesome. So we all know what happened, right? The serpent came and deceived. And that's what the serpent does. That's what the enemy does. And he got us to fall, and to fall hard. And honestly, I think that he kind of did it, like, can you say that he did it legally? Well, God told us not to eat of the tree, right? And that's a discussion for another time. But we decided to eat the tree. We fell hard. We got cut off. From all that we cut off from being in his image, his likeness, we got cut off from love himself. And since then, we were looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? And to me, there was kind of like an identity swap. It was almost like a trade. So the lie was, did God really say that? Like, guess what? He knows that when you eat of this tree, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. What was the problem with that? We already were like him, right? Do you see the twist? So now we lose that very thing, that likeness of him. And in a way, Satan becomes a god, okay? Like it's like a power swap. And the proof of that is every generation since, right? Throughout human history, when we don't worship the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, who do we worship? Right? Paul says, we know these aren't really gods. They're just demons. They're the minions from the other side, right? So in a way, he makes himself more powerful, but it's all a lie. It's all like one big illusion, right? He makes himself more powerful as a god unto men, and then we lose all of our authority. Remember, in the beginning, he said, subdue the earth. You have authority over the earth. Now fill the earth. And we totally lost that there, okay? It's one of the biggest identity thefts and swaps of all times. And the serpent was just a serpent. But because of the lies and because we kept feeding into him, it was almost like blowing it up, inflating it every time. And he gets bigger and bigger. I heard someone say, and I just love it, it's interesting that in Genesis, he's a serpent, and in Revelation, he's a dragon. We've been feeding into that all this time. Okay, if I stop there, it'd be depressing. But oh my gosh. In steps Jesus, okay? We're skipping a lot, but in steps Jesus, this is the gospel, guys. In steps Jesus, who, though he was found in the form of God, became as a man. In my opinion, that's his first sacrifice, not the cross, but that he would lay that aside, Philippians 1 and 2, and become just like us, just as a man who walked in right relationship with God, who showed us what it was to be a son, right? The son. And to walk that out perfectly. Okay, fully fulfilling all the requirements of the law. And what Jesus was a perfect representation of what our lives were supposed to look like. It's the second Adam, right? He took that bat, like he was showing us he was walking in the image of God because he was without sin. So without sin on the earth, he was walking in the image of God, in the likeness of God, because he had it, right? He never lost it. And he showed us what that was like, and the enemy and all principalities bug out. They're like, oh my gosh, he's restoring everything, because what was God's heart? One of the biggest things he did was heal people. Because before we had lost, you know, this amazing inheritance, and before a sin came into the world, there was no sickness. So he comes into this, and that's why I'm tying this all in, but he comes into the world, shows us what it is to be right standing with the Father, fully righteousness, fully clean, good conscience, and beautiful relationship with his Father. He's healing the sick, raising the dead, and so the kingdom of darkness had to put an end to it. You know, they're like, he's going to restore everything, right? It's God's heart to restore all things. the restoration of all things. So he puts an end to it. The only way he knows how, which is to kill, steal, destroy. He says, "Got him now," you know, through influence, gets him on the cross. And oh my gosh, did he walk into an amazing plan? And I'll keep alluding to this. It's that video. It's like, well, it's what Kavika said. What was it like when Christ died? Then there's like many, but oh, how did he put it? It was just so good. When Christ died, he multiplied. Oh, I love it. There's a video. There's that video on YouTube with you know, this couple, and they're like, oh my God, they see this huge spider on the floor, and you know, she's like, Billy, like kill it, you know, like, and you see the broom, and you know, and he goes to hit it, boom, and as soon as he hits it, like thousands of little babies just like come out, and that's like, what did it? I mean, can you imagine the nightmare for hell that day? When the Holy Spirit reached down and brought back to life, right? Through resurrection power, he resurrected the Son. So that same resurrection, so the same death and resurrection power can now accompany us, and we can take it back and pick up where we left off from the beginning. We are restored back to his image and his likeness. Period. Oh my gosh, that's so good. So, legally, sin was completely defeated. Like, I take Jesus at his word. That's just what I do. Like, you know, I like to do that. I just like to believe what he says. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, he undid the curse. Like, he totally broke the curse. So, along with sin, the effects of sin are broken. This is where I'm going here. So when the power of sin is broken, the effects of sin are broken. So that gives us confidence for when we walk, not just in our own lives, but when we pray for others, we stand on that legal right to their healing, because did Jesus die for them? Yes. Did he die to break sin in their life? Yes. And along with that comes healing, because all sin and all of its effects. That's awesome. So it's in our restored sonship. It's out of our restored sonship, out of getting that back, like, you know, getting what was in the beginning back, that we operate. And I believe that this revelation of the gospel is just so enough. It's just more than enough. It's like, we don't need to, you know what I mean? Like, we have to make this thing complicated. Like, there was sin, it kept us from him, and now it's broken, and like, we're just going to get this thing on with Jesus. And if there are issues that seem to be keeping us from that, we need to go to him and his heart and realize that Jesus says that it's not an issue, so that thing can't be an issue in my life either. I agree. Okay, so gave that one testimony. I think we're good. Let me just start talking about healing and some to-dos, maybe some to-don'ts, and things like that. So I just want to remind you guys that, because we can make this thing so systematic in a formula, and it's just not his heart. We have to remember that's the James 5:5. It says the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. It's not the fancy prayer. It's not how long you pray. You pray, what if I don't say the right stuff? Because I've so been there. Like, sometime after, I saw like a bunch of healings, like really fun stuff. And then I can't explain what happened. Like I started to get more self-conscious about what I was like, you know, the words I was saying. Well, maybe I need to address this better. And in that, I started like thinking about, like, I started to kind of not obsessing, but really getting into, you know, what I was speaking. And that's just not the idea. Jesus said that's faith that moves the mountain. Okay, so it's not the exact word that moves the mountain. It's faith behind the word that moves the mountain. I agree that the word has to be spoken, but it's the faith behind it. Okay, James 5:5. It says the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. So it is faith behind the prayer. Because if we're honest, we see a lot of prayers go out and sometimes they don't get answered. It's just the, you know, like we're seeing it. Like, and we have to be able to talk about that, because we have to realize that it's faith behind it. Sometimes we get in this habit of praying out of desperation and need for something. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you're in this time of desperation and you're crying out to the Father. That's something different. But when it comes to healing, this is something that's already, it's been given to us. It's the children's bread, right? Belongs to us. And it's something that we are to administer to other people. So instead of like Like, you know, if I'm praying for someone, I'm like, God, please heal his knee. Like, I just can't do that. Like, there's no asking or petitioning. It's commanding, because that's it's already what's been done. We believe that the work that breaks sin has already been done. But everyone, we see plenty of sin all over the place. Exactly. We need to take that truth. We need to take the truth of the finished work of God. And it's our job to apply it, to take it and bring it into this earth and apply it under this earth and speak it into existence. So it's the faith behind the prayer. If we, you know, sometimes we can get really caught up in praying out of the need instead of out of the solution. Out of the problem, as opposed to out of the solution, we get like really emotionally worked up, but it's kind of a dead giveaway that it's not a simple prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith that'll make the sick person well. You guys with me? Is that cool? Okay. So, I don't know. I put a little note on just how to open. Like, how to open a discussion. You see someone with something, you know, like, how do you engage? And I don't know if I told myself to ask that question, but I don't even know. I'm not sure how to answer, because we're all so different. You know, all I can say is just keep it light and be you. You know, like, let it be out of a place of love and concern, not like, ooh, there's a person in a wheelchair. Like, you know, like, you know, and go chase after them and make them like some crazy target. But if you do see someone who, you know, who needs healing, then yeah, just get bold and just, like, but just do it, like, in your opening, you know, like, we don't have to over spiritual, super, you know what I mean, like, super, you know, Christianize everything, you know. It's just like, hey, like, you know, I noticed that you have some, like, you know, what happened to your leg, you know, like, a lot of times I'll ask them, and I don't know if you've, you know, like, people are just so willing to give you a huge story. They're like, oh yeah, I was, you know, like, and then they'll just give you, like, you know, the whole story of the, you know, about their condition. And it's great, because now suddenly they're opening up to you, and they're like, I mean, they're not even thinking about, like, you know, like, why am I even talking to this person? Like, you know, usually that question enough is to really engage them, you know, and engages them with you. And it really opens up that conversation, because you've, out of your concern for them, you ask them, and people are usually, not always, but usually really happy to tell you. And then from there, a lot of times I'll just, you know, there's so many ways of doing it. A lot of times, I'll just be like, okay, so I know this might sound a little crazy, but, and you know, and then I'll just say something simple, like, hey, I'm a Christian. I love to pray for people. And you know what? I see people, like, you know, because I could say, like, I see people healed, like, and it's amazing. I know God can heal you. Would you mind if I just prayed for you, real quick? And they might be like, well, I don't believe what you do. And you could just be like, well, you don't have to believe. I'll just pray. Really? Like, really? And sometimes, you know, you could get creative. You could find really good ins. I have a really cute daughter. If I'm walking with her, I actually use her so well. I'm like, you know, yeah, like, we really love to pray for people and whatever. And she was thinking she would love to pray for, like, I do this all the time. Now, I'm not being disingenuous and you know, because she's like, a lot of times now she knows the drill. She'd be like, Daddy, that person has, like, look, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, sweetheart. And then a lot of times I'm like, well, we're in the middle of a restaurant and it's crowded, and, you know, we probably should respect the restaurants, you know, like, their deal, because, like, we'd have to, like, stand, you know, like, there are social situations. She's probably right, though. But yeah, so a lot of times she brings up to me. So yeah, like, I have the advantage of a cute 8-year-old daughter that like, man, how do you say no to a really cute 8-year-old daughter? And it really does work. I could, like, tell you firsthand. It's like, they're like, oh yeah, you know, because even if that's to become a cute thing, it's all good. Let it be a cute thing. Oh, cool. She likes to pray. Okay, you guys could pray over me. What a nice gesture. Because one of these times, like, they get healed and they're like, holy, there is a God. Just saying. It's, like, amazing. And speaking of that, sometimes the healing in itself is just fine. Like, and you'll feel it out. You know, like, when you're there praying for someone and something amazing happens, sometimes there's so much reception and, like, they're like, what's going on? I want to talk about this. This is, like, amazing. Sometimes out of shock or whatever, or, like, this just violated everything that they've always believed. I mean, so much stuff, whatever. They might just cut it quick and just go. And it's not the time to be like, oh man, I didn't walk them through, like, the 12 steps of, like, saying the sinner's prayer and yada, yada, yada. I used to get so caught up in that. But, like, That's just a weird yoke that we put on ourselves. But when you realize that if we all we do is just love on people and step out and just give them Jesus, like there are so many seeds planted. Like Paul said, you know, like I planted, Apollos watered, or the opposite way around. It's all good. Like we all play different roles in the kingdom. So sometimes it's cool. Like, yeah, Jesus loves you. You're amazing. Like, you know, just remember this and whatever, and he's so cares for you, whatever, and then just walk away. Sometimes, like, you just walk away. Seriously, sometimes that speaks louder than anything else because people are like, oh, great, another Christian, whatever, and they've been so hurt, like, so bitter about, like, against Christianity, and they think that you're in it for you, right? Like, and to sell them on something and get, like, another little notch on your belt, you know, and that we're out there, evangelizing people, just out of a place of just trying to feel good about ourselves and what we believe and validate our position. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times that might be true. And honestly, like, I've probably been a little bit, guilty of that here and there. Like, man, I'm thinking more about the testimony than this person, and God has corrected me big time. Gently, thank God. But like, if I didn't get it, it would not be so gentle. He was like, this is a person. Like, this is a person that I love. This is not just like a number. It's not a testimony waiting to happen, right? So, and that's one of the reasons why, I don't go around like sharing all them all the time, whatever, because there's this temptation to get wrapped up in the hooray, like the testimony, rather than actually experiencing what this is supposed to be about, and that's other people and giving them Jesus. Okay, so sometimes you can share the gospel. Man, I can't think of a better time. That's amazing, right? But other times, it's okay. Like, it's okay if we don't go, like, all the way with them. Okay, and then, don't ask or petition, command. You have authority. Guess what? That authority that we were given, on day six, right? To subdue the world, just to subdue the earth, Jesus got back from us. Shortly after or before, he said, this bit about, go out and make disciples. He's saying, all authority has been given to me. In other words, like, Satan had stole that. Hey, guess what, guys? I have the keys. I got it back. And so all the authority I have, now you have in this world. As I am, so are you. So just walk in authority, and pray in faith. Huge, huge, huge is love and compassion driven. Paul says it's love that compels us. And that is so true. Like, sometimes I get nervous and we can get nervous and we can be like, oh man, what if this and what if that? But just remember that if love drives you, love can do no wrong to a neighbor, man. It's just amazing. You do everything out of love and you love that person because God loves them. Like, God loves them. It's amazing. So sometimes there's rejection and all that, but like you're loving them. And so even if things don't go the way that it should have in your mind, you stepping out and loving them that way could be really powerful. In fact, one time we were at the lake, actually Nancy and Gary were there. We were over at this Greenbelt Lake, and I was just excited, and I said hello to this guy. I noticed that he was decked out. He had like an IV in him, and just this whole thing. Remember that? Yeah, and so I said hello to him, and I said, hey, sir, if you don't mind me asking, what's going on? I pointed to that, and he was like, and he began to tell me, it's like stage 4, life-threatening, bad, like cancer. And so, and by the way, a lot of times we hear that, and now we're like, okay, let's get 30 people around this person. Let's do some kind of rain dance. Let's blow the shofar, right? Like, as we hear something, it's more desperate. But to God, a cold or a flu or cancer, it doesn't impress him much. It just doesn't impress him. So, and I've been guilty of that, however, but now he's taught me, he's teaching me how to I'm just not impressed with your cancer. I need your cancer to go. That's it. I'm going to pray for that thing and it needs to go. I'm not impressed with it. Just because it's something that causes everyone to shudder. Man, I love listening to, he was like, he was saying that one morning he was, lying in his bed and the Lord was just hovering over him and he spoke to him and he said, he said something along the lines of, my people have been so paralyzed with fear and it's not good. It's not right, whoever. And he brought up cancer. And he said, You know, the issue is that when people hear the word cancer, like some, you know, like a few other phrases and words, they shudder with fear. This shuddering and this fear belongs to me, And so the enemy has presented this thing to just shoot through the body of Christ and paralyzes, you know, us with fear. But Lord, may our vision, our sight be yours, Lord. Like, my prayer is always that I see the way that he sees, because Jesus basically said, if you can see what I see, nothing will be impossible for you. Cancer looks smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's what he's teaching us. So anyway, you know, this guy had, you know, had life-threatening cancer. So I put my, you know, like I asked him if I could pray for him. He was like almost breaking down already. Like, he was like, oh my gosh, yes, you know, something like that. So I'm praying for him. And as we're praying, there's like, you know, we see his whole family right there, and his wife is just bawling. You know, she just, you know, she's got tears in her eyes and all this stuff. And I'm done praying for him. And man, I can't even repeat everything. Like, that happened very well. But his heart, he was so wrecked that day. And honestly, it had very little to do with the cancer. Like, I could tell that his family was just, they're hanging on. He was, by the way, he's like in his 30s, maybe like 40 tops. Was it two young kids? Yeah, young kids, whatever. Nancy was there and she prayed for him too. Like, you know, we were all kind of just stepping in faith. It was amazing. And what happened that day is he got together, you know, back together with his family, and they were eating lunch, and they were just like hanging out in this like sobering, like this beautiful time as a family. Like, guys, let's reflect on what just happened. To us, it was like we were like it was just like a guardian angel. It was like an angel. It was like, you know, as if the Lord just showed up like right in his face in his life. And so I don't know what happened. Like all I can do is pray the prayer of faith. But even though it didn't happen, like, or I don't know if it didn't happen, and actually by faith, like I think that something changed and shifted. But it was crazy. It almost didn't even matter. It was like they just so appreciate, and they just so needed to hear that God cares about them. God cares about their condition and what they're going through, you know, as a family during this hard time. And I'm telling you, it wrecked them. It wrecked us. It was amazing. And it was just because someone decided to just step out and pray. So it was like that easy. So, okay. So there's that question of, I already answered it. What if they didn't get healed? You know, that's the elephant in the room. We need to talk about it. Like, you know, for a while I struggled with that. Like, the reason why I didn't step out, okay, like, you know, feel free to raise your hand, like, if you could relate, but I didn't step out because I'm like, well, I'm going to go put myself out there, take a risk, and what if they don't get healed? I mean, it make God look like not much. You know, that was my fear, and you know, a lot of self issues of like, I'm gonna look like an idiot. Number one is love and faith takes risk, okay? Faith works through love. Paul laid that out. Faith works through love. Both of those things, in my opinion, is all about risk. Love takes risks. Like, I think some of you have figured that out too. It's like, it's willing to take a risk because a risk puts you on the line. It's not about self, it's about them. And the same with faith. So go for it, okay? But like I said, even if let's just say, like, and it's not what we expect in faith, but say like you're giving it all, like everything you have, and something's not shifting, like, don't let that discourage you. I know it's hard to, like, you know to say, but I've done this and I've seen stuff not happen. Just being honest, like, that's a time to, you know, to press more into him. Get in the closet and be like, Lord, I'm so glad that you're teaching me about these things. I'm grabbing a hold of them by faith. I love it, but show me what I'm missing, okay? Because we take responsibility. We don't just like, just kind of walk off and be like, oh, well, they didn't have faith, or it wasn't the right situation, or I'm a loser and I'm not doing that again, okay? Like, we don't want to do that. That's not good. We want to be encouraged to keep on going. And so it's all through love. If you love that person, you'll never do wrong to them, okay? And they can't wrong you, by the way, if you're stepping up in love. So even if nothing happens, you know, what I do personally is I usually thank them for the opportunity, you know, to do that. I say, like, thank you so much for letting me do that. Because it actually took, like, some sort of social something for them to allow me to pray for them. And I'm here to serve. I am. Like, you know, like, we are here to be servants of the world. If you don't like it, take it up with him, because that's what he did. He served others, and we have to be able to put our pride, we have to be able to put ourselves on the line and possibly look like an idiot for Jesus. I'm just saying, there are Bibles, there are scriptures that say that without using the word idiot, but like, you know, like, if I'm going to be a fool, let it be for him, okay? Because, you know, we could ask ourselves all we want to keep us, you know, hindered, the question of, well, what if they don't get healed? But I think an amazing question is, what if they do? What if they do get healed? It's like amazing, you know, like stuff happens. But as I just described before, sometimes there's amazing fruit produced even when they don't get healed. And that wasn't the only time, by the way. I prayed for other people, homeless guy in the street, nothing happened. However, you know, I was like, are you feeling anything different in there, sir? And he's like, no, but that someone would do that for me, you know, and he was touched. So isn't that neat? Like, I just think that's great. And rejection. Sometimes it may happen, you know, like I was fearful of that kind of thing. No longer. Like God is showing me like that I cannot, like when I'm walking in his love, it's impossible to you for you to offend me. It was impossible for Jesus. Jesus was never, if anyone had a right to be offended in this world, it was him. You right? Okay. Okay. Good time to talk about healing. Are you good? Okay. So as a believer, offense, honestly, guys, like this is going to sound harsh, but the ability to be completely offended and come back and bite back with total attitude and stuff, or meet someone else's attitude with attitude and not love that person, when that happens, we need to get back in the closet, make sure we're saved, first of all. And then if we find out that we're saved, we need to like connect with his heart and be like, Lord, what's going on here? I'm serious. And that's, and like, I know that sounds harsh, but the more I'm learning is that, man, like complaining and bitterness and attitude, whatever, this is all stuff from hell. It's not from the kingdom. It's not, complaining is hell's language, period. It's just not right. So for us to have attitude, it's like that, then literally as believers and representatives of Christ himself, that person gives me an attitude, I give him attitude back. Like their sin and their ignorance is producing the same exact thing in me. And that's not the gospel. And it's not just about like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to take it and just, nope, I'm going to control myself and hold it in. Jesus was on a totally different playing field. It was impossible for them to offend him. And even after all that, he said, God, forgive him. I'm convinced that he didn't even need to forgive them. He was already walking in forgiveness. Like, it was like totally like a different playing field. And I could tell you firsthand, beginning to experience it, like you just start to not take this stuff personal anymore. When you are receiving his love and you're hooked up and wired up to the heart of God, man, it's like it's impossible, because they're doing it out of ignorance. They don't know what they do. What, you know, like, how do I expect them to do anything else? And even if they're a Christian and they do it, yes, it's pretty upsetting. But it's like, but it still means that they're missing something. And why should that sin that's doing something in them do the same thing in me? There's just never excuse for that. So, rejection, no advice for that. It's impossible to be offended. Okay, like I've seen this happen. I've like ask people, you know, or I'd say something nice to them and stuff, and man, like I've gotten the like the rundown. I mean, there's some stuff, like, you know, on Santa Fe, you know, it's like I went up to a woman. Long story short, I was like, you know, hi ma'am, you know, I'm a believer, like I believe in Jesus, he loves you. Is there anything I could pray for you for? And she gives me this thing of like, oh, I just, you know what, I feel bad for you, you know, and like this whole thing of like that you would just be like the way that you are and believing this fairy tale. I'm serious, man. And like right away, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your night. Okay. And because it's not for me to take that and harbor some stuff, you know, if that's going on, we need to like rethink and reconnect. Okay. Is that it? Maybe think outside the box. I just want to encourage us that people are all around us, and they need Jesus, right? Like we know. And I just want to encourage you that you can do so much more in their life out of the place of who you are, right? Not like, oh, I need to do something today. It's on my list of things to accomplish. But it's just out of who you are. When you begin to see the way that he sees, everyone is like gold. They're like treasure to you. It's amazing. So feel free to just get outside the normal, like, you know, the normal mindset. what happened to me was, like, I just got wrecked by this thing, and I'm like, I saw everyone differently. Like, the guy begging on the street, honestly. Like, I'd see him, and I'm like, okay, well, I can give him a buck, or what if I stop the car? What if I go find, like, a place to park and, like, walk over and be like, hey, man, and just sit down, you know, or, like, buy him water and then go meet him and then have money for him and have Jesus for him, okay? What would that do? Like, yeah, well, it's just a guy, they're always there. No. It's a person that God loves and that you have the ability to, honestly, in most cases, you have the ability to completely wreck them for Jesus that day. No joke. Like I've seen it happen. Like, oh my gosh, you would, like, do that, whatever? I'm like, dude, no big deal. Like, what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago and you, whatever, this is, like, a given. This is, like, a no-brainer. I'll get there in still, like, 2 seconds. No-brainer. Like, amazing. So, like, to be able to drop the gospel on that and make it an opportunity, I'll admit, I'm not as into just giving money and leaving, although, if that's what you do, do it. Do it for his name's sake. Feed the poor, right? Just so, provide people with stuff. But, like, I know there's a backstory, and I want to hear it. I want to sit down with them, take 5 minutes out of my life. Otherwise, I'm just in a rush to get back to work. I mean, like, that's not fun. Like, take a break or whatever and just speak into someone's life. And it doesn't have to be well said, perfect, the straight out 12-step program. Just love them and give them Jesus. Hey, Jesus loves you so much. Like, I just want to tell you that. And sure, sometimes they won't be receptive. That's cool. But man, like, usually, the reception is amazing, amazing. And you can just, I mean, this makes a difference. I've seen people get touched, like, big time. Are you going to say something, Truman?
When he said, think outside the box, God said something to me a while back. He was actually scolding me. He flat out told me, he said, why do you think that you have the right to put me in a box? Why do you think you have the right to limit me? I'm much broader and much bigger than what you're willing to accept. Think outside the box. When he said think outside the box, what I saw was this. Was we limit ourselves according to what we think we see or we know. Instead of thinking about what we think or know, think outside the box. Take the fullness of God to them rather than what you think you know. Take God to them.
Right on, Truman. And when we label or limit ourselves, we're labeling and limiting God in us. When we have a low ceiling on ourselves, we have a low ceiling on what God can do through us. It's all about what we see. It's all about our perspective. And so yeah, okay. So I feel like I'm just, is anyone getting that? Is there something out of this? It's not like the most, you know, pumped up sermon ever, but it's just like, it's just some practicals, you know, like some practical stuff on just my own experience. I would love to share more stories. And honestly, I would if you want to take another 5 minutes, but it is like several minutes past. But there's just some amazing stories, just practical stuff. It's just stepping out and just knowing who we are, who he is in us, and just feeling brave enough to just get out there and just do it, because you, every single one of you, are amazing. Like